This evening, turn with us to John's Gospel, chapter number 14. We'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God tonight, found in two verses of John's Gospel, chapter number 14. We're going to read. Here John is writing and he says, "And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Oh, I'm glad Jesus said that. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot, not will not, but cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Thank you for standing this evening, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I'd like to share a few thoughts this evening on the person of the Holy Ghost. And I think it's a lot of confusion in the day and hour. I think it's always been a lot of confusion about the person of the Holy Ghost. The person of the Holy Ghost is not an attribute of God. The Holy Ghost is a person. We have the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, there are some mannerisms that the Holy Ghost has to share in our lives tonight. And I hope you can go to your Bible in some places and mark those this evening. But first of all, you'll notice in verse 17 of where I read, "Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him," or the Holy Ghost, "for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Now in the Old Testament, we know and realize that the Holy Ghost has always been with the Father. God used the Holy Ghost in the days of old, in the old Bible, upon His prophets. The Holy Spirit would come upon men, but in this dispensation, the church age now, Jesus has left us some words that the Holy Ghost will not be upon us, but now He will indwell us. He will come and live in us. In Romans chapter number 8, I think that this is probably one of the most amazing chapters in our Bible concerning the Holy Ghost of God. But he says this in Romans 8 and verse number 9. He says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So we see if anyone has not the Spirit of Christ living in them, then the Bible says that they are not of Christ. In other words, you're not going to heaven unless the Spirit of God lives in you. When does the Spirit of God come into you? The day that you receive Christ as your Savior. You're born again by the grace of God. The Bible teaches us that we're baptized in the family of God. And therefore, God puts the Holy Spirit in you. And it's a supernatural work that we are placed in Christ and Christ in us. It's an amazing feat that the Holy Spirit does. But we see in the reading of the text verse in John's Gospel that the Holy Spirit is a person. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and verse number 8, 1 Corinthians 12, and verse number 8, I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit, He possesses great intelligence. He knows all things. 1 Corinthians 12, and verse number 8. There Paul is writing, and he says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." Now watch this. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." So there we see that the Holy Spirit possesses great intelligence. He gives us wisdom by a gift of the Spirit of God. There are many gifts that the Christian receive after they're saved. But here we see that the Holy Spirit possesses great intelligence. We see in verse number 11 of the same chapter that He has a will. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 11, "But all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we see his identity that he has a will. In Romans 15:13, we find that he possesses great power. Romans 15 and verse number 13. Here the Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." He said in verse 19, "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and run about into Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." We see through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, he possesses great power. We need this power in our life to live. That's why you can't live the Christian life without the Spirit of God. We know that we certainly are not saved because we live by the rules of the old law, the Ten Commandments. We know that we can't live a Christian life apart from the Spirit of God. But if He lives in us, we can do all things through Him tonight. I think a lot of times that we sell the Holy Spirit short and we forget about that He has all power. He has enough power to do anything. We seen that last week in Louisiana. I would love to show you what the pastor sent me this week on a picture of where this guy went to the barbershop and he's got his hair cut. And I was telling about it Sunday how God had moved in this man's life. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You may think somebody's way too far away, but you know, He reached and got you. He can get anybody. And so tonight, we don't want to give up on Him because He has all power. Did you know in Romans 15 and 30 that He possesses great love? Boy, one of the great attributes of the Holy Ghost, He possesses a great love. Romans 15 and 30. "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So we see He has great intelligence. He has a will. He possesses power. One of His attributes is love. And He also possesses great knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, if you'd notice with me there a minute, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 10, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now look at verse 14. You hear a lot of people say, "Well, I need a new Bible. I can't understand the King James Bible." Well, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Now, I used to have some things to say about Christians before I got saved. I couldn't understand the Bible. But the day I got saved and the Holy Spirit came to live in me, I found out that He put something in me that opened up the words of this Bible. He made this Bible alive. And I'm glad that I can realize that the natural man don't even know what we're talking about tonight. But the Spirit in us receives the things of God. And so you always remember the things, no wonder that the natural man looks at us and scratches their head and says, "Why would anybody come to church three times a week? Why would anybody pay their tithes to God? Why would anybody study their Bible? Why do they pray? Why would they do that?" Well, they can't relate to where you are, to the Spirit of God comes and lives in them. Now, in Acts 13 and 2, it's a mighty powerful verse, but I want you to notice it. In Acts 13 and verse number 2, The Spirit of God speaks to us. He speaks to us in Acts 13. I love it when somebody's preaching out of the Word of God and the Bible goes to talking to us. Now, in Acts 13, verse number 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. He calls their names, which had been brought up with Herod and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Now, what do you see here? Well, the Holy Spirit talks. Now, not in an audible voice, but I can tell you this, He talks. And He talks to us by the Spirit. And there's been many times in my life when He spoke to my heart to do things. And you know, a lot of people think, well, a church that has a pastor seems like that he makes all the decisions. You know, the pastor don't get to make the decisions. Christ is making the decisions. The Holy Ghost is telling him what to do. And even the pastor don't get to make the decision. We've got to do what God said. There's been many times I've seen Brother David call on somebody to sing, and I knew exactly that's who was to sing next. He'd call them. The Spirit of God talks to, the Spirit of God has talked to many people in here. Many times, the Spirit talks to others through us. And boy, I'm glad we've got a God that loves us enough. He sent a Spirit that can talk to us. Now, the Spirit's not deaf and dumb. He does talk. And I'm going to tell you something. If He don't talk to you, I'd be wondering, did He live in me or not? Now, He don't say boo, but He does get His point across. And I'm thankful for that. I'll never forget, I guess probably two of the most times that I've ever seen God directly show me something and talk to me specifically. One was where this church was to go. I was pulling out of this subdivision. Me and Brother Mike had been looking every place for a facility. Brother David Robinson's daddy had offered us a church over there for $1 a year. And nobody was meeting there. It's down at the river on 100. Me and Brother Mike walked in, got the key from Brother David's daddy. And the Holy Ghost told me as soon as I walked in, leave. I mean, I knew what He had told. We didn't even pray. I told Brother Mike, I said, you know, this man's trying to help us, but God don't want us here. Well, it wasn't a week. I turned out of the subdivision and looked. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, Brother Lee, and showed me that church is coming up this hill. I didn't know what He was talking about. I just knew what He had said. I knew God had told me it was coming up here on this hill. And I thought, well, Lord, are You going to give us that building across the road, or what are You going to do? Well, it wasn't but just a few hours. Renee's daddy said, have y'all talked to them folks about the property there beside the Legion Hall? And the Holy Ghost said, I told you. Well, it opened up. Well, another specific time in my life where the Holy Spirit talked to me definitely. I sat in that chair where Dean McNeese was preaching, and God gave me a snapshot of that wing and opened it. It scared me to death. I didn't say nothing to nobody about it for a while because it scared me to death. Then I was sitting in the doctor's office again, and he rose it back up in my spirit. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God talks to us by the person of the Holy Spirit. And I'm glad that He has words that we can understand. Now, a lot of times you think, well, did God tell me that or did the devil tell me that? Well, let me ask you this. Does it line up with this Bible? Now, God's never going to take you away from the Word. And so I'd be careful of whose voice you're listening to. But that's a total different message. Anyway, He speaks to us. And then Romans 8:28, He intercedes for us. I wish everybody in our church had a prayer life that they could go into this verse right here and realize just what a blessing that He is to us in praying. There's been many times that I've went in my altar to pray and I didn't know what to pray for. But yet the Spirit would pray in me and He'd bring to my face the images of the people and He'd put in my heart those I was to pray for. He said, Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We find him talking back to us right there. Not only praying to God with us or for us, but we find him putting in our hearts what to pray for. And then he says, in turn, he will even speak to us what God is saying. And so it's an amazing thing of the communication of the Holy Spirit of God. Then Ephesians 1:13, he seals us. And I want you to get a clear picture of this tonight. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 13, how he seals us. Now Paul is writing to the church, and he tells them in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, to the redemption, the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. In other words, he has given us that of the Holy Spirit when we got saved. Now, this seal, it has to do with ownership, and it has to do with security. It's not a seal like we think of a mason jar or a bottle, but it is as a king would take a ring and put hot wax, and he would sign a document with a seal. I noticed when those trucks would come to the Planet Pepsi, they all had a seal on the back. If the seal wasn't there, we was to turn the truck away and send it back to Birmingham. Why? I'm glad that seal delivers us to the destination. In other words, I'm glad I can't get lost after I've been saved. He's put a seal of promise in me and on me, and he recognizes that I am his by that of the person of the Holy Spirit. It's an amazing the day that we got saved, that the person of the Holy Spirit come to live in us. You think about all these attributes that he has, that he's placed within us. What great benefits the Holy Spirit gives unto us. Now, he seals us. It has to do with ownership and security. And then, I want to say this tonight. In John 16:13, he teaches and guides. Whenever you're in doubt, don't. That's the best policy. Because I'm going to tell you something, God knows what's ahead of us. So many times, if I would have just listened to him instead of somebody else, he'll never lead you wrong. He's told me things, and I've said, Lord, it's no way that can be right. And guess what? It come to pass. The Lord, the Holy Ghost, has never, ever been wrong. Now, John 16:13. The Bible says, I have yet many things to say unto you, is what Jesus said, but you can't take it right now. But he says, I can tell you this, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And watch this, and he will show you things to come. And this has always been the Holy Spirit's job. He's always took sort of the back position, and he's always exalted Christ. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So we see here that he teaches and he guides. Now, I want to give you some good advice tonight. As I've already said, any time that you're looking to do something and you're wanting to know the will of God in your life and you're looking for direction, well, let me tell you, some things take time. I heard somebody say, well, they give God 5 days to tell them something. Well, God don't work that way. You know, we don't tell God nothing. Everything's on his plan, on his time, and on his table. But we're guaranteed tonight that when he's come, that he will reprove the world of sin, or he'll convict the world of sin, and he will guide you into all truth. He'll never let you down if you'll wait on him. Now, he gives us direction, and he teaches, and he guides. Now, there are some personal reactions to this person. the way you and I, we all have a profile. We're all different. So is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has deep feelings. First of all, the Bible teaches us that these personal reactions He has, go to Ephesians 4 and 30, He can be grieved. Ephesians 4 and 30, He can be grieved. Now, if He lives in us, what does this mean that we can grieve Him? Grieve means to cause pain or grief or distress. Makes Him sad. Ephesians 4 and 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Now, if you want an eternal security verse, there's one of the greatest, most powerful in the Bible. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, He said, I'm going to tell you something. You can offend Him easy. If you grieve Him, it means to sadden Him. You see, to cause pain or grief. When we sin or do something, it goes a lot further than conscience. Now, the conscience is God's watchdog of the soul. And, buddy, when you lay down and that conscience goes to barking, it's a tough night. But I'm going to tell you something. When you grieve the person, the Holy Spirit, you'll know it if He lives in you. In other words, when you've done something that you knew you were not to do, you'll feel a saddened happen inside of you. You'll feel a great grief happen in you. You know, in service, I can remember one time in particular, we'd had a great service here. I mean, man, it was wonderful. Honey was dripping off the ceiling. It was wonderful. There's a man stood up in the back, and he had something negative saying, the Holy Ghost in me done this when He done that. I knew when about what He's going to say, He's fixing to grieve the Holy Ghost of God. Now, you wonder why a preacher stays in knots, because you don't know how stupid somebody's fixing to get. Amen? You know, I knew before he started, he was grieving the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's, ugh. Anybody ever felt that, ugh? Has anybody ever felt that, ugh, go on inside them? Well, I'm glad there's four or five of you say. Well, now we can grieve him. And then he can be resisted. Now, you remember Stephen, Acts 7:51, he told this group that he was preaching to. He told them something as he was preaching. They didn't want to listen to the Word of God, so he simply said this, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." He can be resisted, in other words. You can push him away. You may be here tonight and lost. God's been dealing with you to be saved. I'm going to tell you, you can resist the Spirit of God. I've seen people sit in whole pews. I've seen them weep and cry and never move out. And far as I knew, ever accepted Christ. You can resist God. Now, the Bible teaches that. Now, and also, he can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 19. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. This word has to do with an extinguishing, a putting out or a smothering. You see, when we grieve Him, it's because we've done something in us. But when we quench Him, it's because we have smothered something He's wanting to do out of us. There's been times when God might have knocked on your heart to stand up and testify in the church. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, you quenched the Spirit of God. What kind of meeting could we have had? Maybe if you would have come to the altar. I mean, if God moves on your heart, you ought to not quench the Spirit of God. React as He acts upon. It may be simply going and hugging a neck, saying, I'm sorry. Or man, I appreciate you doing that. But He's doing it for a reason. Because somebody needs to hear from the Holy Ghost. So we should never grieve Him and we should never quench Him. We should be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, I want to stay sensitive. And the way you stay sensitive is you stay filled with the Spirit of God. Anything ought to bother us. One of my children paid me a great compliment. I was preaching Sunday. I know Brother Randy's traveling tonight. Brother Randy was teaching a lesson one Sunday, and God convicted me with something that I had that I went and bought. And I went and sold it. It seemed like such a little thing. And one of my children said, "Daddy, you let this any little thing bother you." I sure do. And I want to stay there. Because I realize when I quit listening to God and I turned my ear to Him, I'm on my own then. And so I done found out, friend, when He tells you to build a building, guess what? He'll pay for it. And you know when we're going to build that wing? When He tells your preacher it's time to build it. Amen? Amen? I mean, I'd say He's done a pretty good job paying for it so far. And so long as He's telling somebody to do something, you can take it to the bank, honey. It'll be fine. But if it's your idea or my idea, that'll play out before too long. So I sure wished I could have listened to Him years ago. Now, He can be quenched, He can be resisted, He can be grieved, He can be lied to. Acts 5, chapter number 3. Boy, the power was like this in the local church. You look here tonight, Acts 5. I guess a good sermon, Brother Mike, could be, "Where's the power gone?" But in Acts 5, you'll notice one of the Bible characters had an issue with Barnabas. Barnabas had given away some nice property. And somebody in the church wanted to trump him. You ever notice big shots in the church? If you know, I've heard people saying, "Well, I'm going to give this $100 bill." Well, let me ask you something. I don't like that. If we're going to take up an offer, I'm going to say I'm going to give the first $100. Huh? It may be people here that give $10,000, but they ain't got it to give. So ain't no sense in me flaunting what God's blessed me with in their face. But I'm going to tell you what happened in this early church. Jealousy broke out. He wanted to be the lead dog. Yeah, boy, y'all quiet tonight. Barnabas give the church a piece of property, give them something nice. Well, here's a Bible character. The Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said to Ananias when he walked in, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in your heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but to God." Now watch this. Hook those verses up and you'll see that the Spirit of God is God. He said, first of all, in verse number 3, "Satan hath filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost." Look what He says now in verse 4. He said, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost. Great fear came all on them that heard these things. So the big shot fell dead. Amen. And so where's the power gone? Well, he can be lied to. Now, I want to say this. He possesses three divine attributes. Three things about the Spirit of God is, number one, He's omnipotent. He has all power. In Luke chapter number 1 and verse 35, He has all power. Luke 1 and verse number 35. There Luke says this. He says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Not only is He omnipotent, but He's omniscient. In other words, He is all-knowing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 10, we showed you that He would show you the deep things of God. I'm glad He knows everything. He's all-knowing. Let's turn over there and look at that. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." He is all-knowing. He is all-present. Psalms 139, verse 7. Mark this verse in your Bible. Psalms 139, verse number 7. The Bible says, "Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Not only is he all powerful and all knowing, but he is all present. There's never a time that you're away from him. And I sure am glad of that. You know, why you say that, preacher? Because he lives in us. And I'm glad he lives in us. As God, wherever we go, he lives. I wonder how many times he's took care of us and we knew nothing about it. Now, tonight, this is what's amazing to me about the Spirit of God in John chapter 3 and verse number 8. He's spoken of as the wind. John 3 and 8. This has always amazed me of being a preacher of this verse right here. Now the Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus had this question. He said, "Well, I want to know something. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say to you, except a man be born of water, of his mother's womb, earthly, and of the Spirit, spiritually, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, you can take that water as the Word of God. Either one's fine with me. But we know this. When you got born into this world, your mother had you. And to be born again, the Spirit of God has got to let you be reborn from above. Now, he said this in verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh," or the water, "is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit," or the Spirit, "is spirit." Now, here it is. "Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but ye canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Now, why is the Spirit like the wind? Well, it has a great mystery in its movement. It's invisible in its operations. We never can see the wind. We just see its effects. You can look out, I don't care if the wind's blowing 200 miles an hour. You can't see wind. You just see what it's doing. So it is with the Spirit of God. It's always amazed me. Somebody can be sitting in the middle of a pew and God deal with them in such a way that by the Spirit of God, they'll climb over two pews to get to an altar. And people sitting by them looking like, "What's going on?" You know why? God's sovereign and He does as it pleases Him. That's the mind of God. That's the ways of the Spirit. That's past our finding out. All we know is we're to preach the gospel. Whosoever will, let them come. That's God's work who gets saved. And so certainly we see that it is like the wind. It's a great mystery in movement. It's invisible in its operations. But it sure is, you can see its lasting effects. Have you ever seen how that the wind had come through? I remember at Ringo, Georgia, the whole town about got blown away. It's amazing what the effects of the wind caused. Well, I can tell you the reason a lot of us are here tonight, because the wind blew on us one time. And I sure am glad that He let me be born again by the Spirit of God. Now, I said that to say this in closing. That's just a quick snapshot of the mannerisms of the Holy Ghost. It's not an identity. He's a person. The mannerisms. But secondly, and I want to dive in next week deeper in this thought. Not only the manners, but now we'll look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is no less God than the Father or the Son. Each one of the triune God head has duties and performs these duties together. Before time, God decreed that he'd have a plan. Within that plan, he determined some things would be done. And the Father would have a people, a place, and a power. He decreed that the Son would have a ministry, having a creation ministry, a church ministry, and a crowning ministry. And he also decreed that the Spirit would oversee a book, a birth, and a bride. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I want you to read this verse 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached in the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up unto glory. Now, watch the Holy Spirit's ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. We find that it says this, All Scripture. Underline this in your Bible. Don't never let nobody take your Bible from you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, the word inspiration comes from two Greek words. Theos, which is God, and the word neo, meaning breath or wind. These two words together simply mean God breathed, and the breath of God is the Holy Spirit. God breathed these Scriptures. Now, all Scriptures given by what? By the breath of God, by the inspiration of God. All Scriptures. All the way from Genesis to Revelation. Look in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 20. Now we're talking about his book ministry. The Holy Spirit has had a great book ministry. In 2 Peter 1 and 20, well, preacher, what has he done? Well, watch what he's done in the book ministry. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Verse 19. In other words, we've got something more that the Old Testament saints never had. They never had a completed Bible of 66 books. We have a complete canon. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place till the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, here it is, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, moved means to drive or to be driven. So God said that the Spirit would be the overseer of the Bible. He guided the writers and he guards the words. Now, isn't this amazing that the Holy Spirit put the Bible together in 66 books over a period of 1,600 years with 40 different penmen? Look at the last words now that is inspired in the book, Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Note, he says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He then stopped and laid down his divine pen of inspiration and began his ministry of illumination. And I sure am glad, he said in Psalms chapter number 12, last place we go, Psalms 12, verse number 6. Psalms 12, verse number 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. This is the Word of God. We don't need a new Bible. We need to live by the one that He left us. When you go to rearranging the words of God, you go to messing with what God said. And that's where you're going to get in a world of hurt, neighbor. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad this book is inspired. I'm glad that one of the great ministries that the Holy Ghost has had was preparing a book of God that we could read and find out who God is, find out about His Son, and find out about our way to heaven. You say, well, why is it so important that this book be preserved? Because it's our way to heaven. You see, He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And I believe we ought to stand on this King James Bible till Jesus comes. And I don't care who says what, who's doing what, or how they're doing it. This right here, friends, going to stand when the world is a-burning, because it's inspired of the Spirit of God. He's our friend. He dwells in us. He's our companion. Thank God He knows everything about us. I'm glad when we do wrong, He convicts us. I'm glad He can encourage us. Thank God He knows what He's doing. Boy, I praise Him for living in me. What a friend, what a companion, what a guide. Lord, lead us and guide us into all truth. Thank You for being here tonight. Stand up with us. Father, we love You. We thank You for the Lord Jesus.